Just over a week ago, a Chinese researcher claimed he'd used the gene editing technique CRISPR to modify the DNA of two human embryos. Since then, scientists around the world have protested what they say is an unsafe, unethical, or at least highly premature use of gene editing on unborn humans. But the picture is very different when it comes to using CRISPR to modify our foods. GMOs, genetically modified organisms, have been common on American farms and tables for decades. And now a whole new generation of gene-edited foods are on the way to the supermarket. This morning in our series, Lab to Table, The Future of Our Food, WBUR's Kerry Goldberg visits a lab in Woburn that's using CRISPR to develop a new strain of rice.
So what are we seeing?
Just went into soil 2 days ago, so that's why they're so small right now. So these ones are edited for the gene that we were talking about.
Delicate green shoots floating in glasses of water. Seedlings sprouting in clumps of peat the size of a child's fist. Foot-high stalks rising from quart pots of soil under bright grow lights. All familiar sights to some gardeners. But no amateur gardener has ever done what research associate Kieran Ryan is doing in this lab. He's shining ultraviolet light on grains of rice in a petri dish to see which ones glow red.
You don't see it as well with the light on, but some of these seeds glow and some of them don't. There's one in the middle there that doesn't glow.
Ryan and his boss, Ollie Peoples, want rice grains that don't glow. A visual signal that the CRISPR process to edit one rice gene is complete.
This is an interesting gene. So this gene is almost like a master traffic light. Mm-hmm. So it slows plant growth.
Peoples is the president and CEO of Yield 10, an ag tech company, that's high tech for agriculture, in Woburn. He says the company's research in particularly fast-growing prairie grass found that the traffic light gene's activity was turned down.
So what we've done is we've essentially said, okay, if it's turned down in this high-yielding plant, let's use CRISPR to turn it down in rice.
Or cut it out.
So we've more or less what he's done is he's essentially turned that gene off.
Yield 10 is aiming to make major crops like rice much more productive. It's using data science to pinpoint key genes that affect growth and then altering them using CRISPR. The company has already reported dramatic initial results from gene editing to boost yield in camelina, a plant related to flax. Peoples portrays the company's work as part of a rising wave of gene editing that could lead to another green revolution, like the huge leap in grain production back in the 50s and 60s, one that's needed as the global population grows. But he says gene editing could affect agriculture across the board, not just yields.
It's everything all the way down to flavor, appearance, you know, the non-browning apple, the non-browning mushrooms, lettuce that doesn't wilt.
For millennia, plant breeding just meant selection. Farmers would choose the better plants and sow those seeds. The 20th century saw the advent of a new method, mutation breeding.
Which means let's take this rice and irradiate it to cause mutations and see if that gets us something. That's been done since the 40s.
Professor Tim Griffin is chair of Agriculture, Food, and Environment at the Friedman School at Tufts University. He says mutation breeding has been used mainly in big crops like wheat, corn, rice, and soy. Then, in the 90s, came the first generation of GMO crops. Opposition to GMOs has focused largely on the increased herbicide use they enable. Nevertheless, in the U.S., corn, soybeans, cotton, and sugar beets are now overwhelmingly GMO. Griffin gives one classic example.
They took a gene from a bacteria that lives in the soil, they got it into corn, and then that corn was resistant to glyphosate, which is a weed killer. That exchange of the gene is not something that you would just expect to happen in nature because on one hand it's a corn plant and on the other it's a soil microbe.
The biggest difference between GMO crops and the new gene-edited foods is that CRISPR is generally used like a molecular scissors, snipping out genes rather than inserting new ones from other organisms. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced this spring that it won't regulate most CRISPR crops because they could have been produced with conventional breeding. But exactly how the gene-edited crops, and animals for that matter, should be regulated remains very much in play.
It's a very new and unproven technology
that needs a lot more work before it's turned loose in the marketplace.
Steve Gilman is the policy coordinator for the Northeast Organic Farming Association. He's among those who challenge the notion that CRISPRed crops should be regulated less because they pose fewer risks.
There should be an orderly, transparent process for what goes into our food supply. And for a long time, this has not been the case. It's been ruled by big food, and this is just another case of the technology surging forward in the search of profits.
But at a Boston conference on CRISPR this summer, a prominent organic farmer, Klaus Martens, made headlines when he expressed very qualified support for gene editing.
I think there are some uses of CRISPR that would be fully compatible, in my opinion, with the goals of organic agriculture. There are some others that I think would not be compatible, and I would hope that as an industry we could go forward and discuss the different uses.
The devil's in the details.
Gregory Jaffe at the nonprofit Center for Science in the Public Interest says the risks and benefits of gene editing should be examined on a case-by-case basis. Jaffe is a member of a new national Coalition for Responsible Gene Editing in Agriculture. With industry support, the coalition is trying to work out guiding principles for developers of gene-edited crops and animals.
We should actually look at this in a science evidence-based manner, not just applying old laws to a new technology like fitting a square peg into a round hole.
In the coming years, you'll likely start seeing CRISPRed foods on the shelves. But you may not always know you're seeing them. Jaffe believes a pending federal law about disclosing and labeling what's called bioengineered food probably will not include gene-edited foods. But some CRISPRed foods may advertise their benefits. Jaffe says a Minnesota company called Calixt is expected to start selling gene-edited soybean oil with healthier fat content next year.
If you were a consumer, you'd have to look hard to find this oil. But the point being that there are products that are moving to the farm and to the food supply.
Until now, consumers had little reason to like GMO foods. The modifications mainly made food easier to grow for farmers, not more appealing to shoppers. A new poll from the Pew Research Center finds Americans pretty evenly split on whether they think GMO food is better for their health or worse. But Tim Griffin from Tufts says that could shift.
I think the nutrition and health side of it is probably the game changer. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to broader opinions about this if a consumer could look at it and say, oh, that actually might be better for me.
Gene-edited food is stirring up great excitement and great uncertainty. Uncertainty over potential unintended consequences, excitement over potentially new and better foods. One thing seems certain. CRISPRed foods are coming. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.